and long for the end of meetings, even when we're running the darn things. How pathetic is it that we've come to accept that the activity most central to the running of our organizations is inherently painful and unproductive? All of this is an unnecessary shame because meetings are critical. They are where presidential cabinets discuss whether or not to go to war, where governors and their aides debate the merits of raising or lowering taxes, where CEOs and their staffs consider the decision to launch a brand, introduce a product, or close a factory. And so, my question is this: if we hate meetings, can we be making good decisions and successfully leading our organizations? I don't think so. There is simply no substitute for a good meeting, a dynamic, passionate, and focused engagement when it comes to extracting the collective wisdom of a team. The hard truth is, bad meetings almost always lead to bad decisions, which is the best recipe for mediocrity. But there is hope. By taking a contrarian, non-traditional view of meetings and following a few specific guidelines that have nothing to do with video conferencing, interactive software, or Robert's Rules of Order, we can transform what is now painful and tedious into something productive, compelling, even energizing. In the process, we can also differentiate ourselves from our competitors who continue to waste time, energy, and enthusiasm lamenting the drudgery of meetings. To illustrate how this can be accomplished, I've written a fictional story about an executive in a unique struggle with meetings. Following the story is a practical description of my suggestions for implementing these ideas in your organization. Good luck as you work to make your meetings more effective and to restore some of the passion that you and your people deserve.
Preview. Casey McDaniel had never been so nervous in his life. Not when he was a 16-year-old preparing to speak at his father's funeral, not before he proposed marriage to his wife, not when he stood over a 9-foot putt that would win or lose the biggest golf tournament of his career. No, this was the moment. In just 10 minutes, the meeting would begin, and Casey had every reason to believe that his performance over the next 2 hours would determine the fate of his career, his financial future, and the company he had built from scratch. For a moment, he thought he was going to be physically ill. How could my life have unraveled so quickly? He wondered. Part 1. Flashback. The man. Most of his employees would describe Casey as an extraordinary man, but just an ordinary CEO. On a personal level, they genuinely liked their leader. Casey was a devoted husband, a loving father to his 4 children, a committed parishioner at Sacred Heart Church, and a helpful friend and neighbor. It was almost impossible not to like, even admire, the man, which made his limitation as a leader all the more mystifying. His story. The McDaniel family had lived modestly in Carmel for the past 50 years, and Casey grew up on or around the many golf courses in the area, usually as a caddy or gardener. His affinity for golf was matched only by his love for computers, so he left home after high school to attend the University of Arizona on a golf scholarship, where he studied electrical engineering and computer science. 4 years later, he graduated toward the middle of his academic class, but at the top of the Pac-10 conference in golf. The lure of joining the PGA Tour and someday playing back home at Pebble Beach in front of friends and family was too much for Casey to resist. So he joined a qualifying tour where he quickly became one of the more popular players on the circuit with his quiet humor and generosity toward any fellow golfers who needed a little advice about their stroke. Over the course of the next 5 years, Casey won a few more than his share of second-tier tournaments and earned enough money to keep his head far above water. But just as he was about to break through to the big tour, he developed a chronic case of what golfers call the yips, an almost clinical disorder that makes it difficult to remain steady while in the act of putting. Plenty of promising players had their careers cut short by the pseudo-psychological yips, and Casey reluctantly counted himself among them. Never one to let disappointment keep him down for too long, Casey returned home with a woman and an idea. In a matter of months, he got married, bought a tiny bungalow with the earnings he had saved, hired 2